Dear friends, I am happy to be back with you today in order to start the real study of this text. We shall begin with the three first verses. May I simply invite you to read these verses, and we shall then see what we can grasp out of them. Let us read Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Revelation of Jesus Christ. These first words can already be understood in many different ways. Revelation takes its name from the Greek word apokalypsis. Apo means taken from, to remove from, and kalypsis evokes a veil. It is this question of removing a veil, disclosing. This is why we talk about revelation. You can thus understand that this text is a revelation. It is not hidden. On the contrary, it reveals many things, and very curiously, we consider it to be as one of the most complicated texts of the Word of God. Not so. It is a revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this revelation of Jesus Christ may be understood in different ways. It is a revelation coming from Jesus Christ, or it is a revelation concerning Jesus Christ. In the context which interests us today, it is a revelation transmitted by Jesus Christ. And indeed, there is something here which must help us to understand that it is a long and broken chain which will be unrolled before us. We shall come to this idea later. But let us first read a text from the Ancient Testament, the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7. Surely, the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophet. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? You can note here the objective of God. It is not to do anything without warning his people. It is thus good that this people be informed. But informed about what? About events that will take place. The text says that will take place soon. And up to the end of the book, this idea of things to happen soon prevails. In Greek, the word avtakpei can be translated speedily, very quickly. This has been written 2,000 years ago. And one can say that this speed is rather a slow-moving one. Or we may perhaps consider things differently. We may perhaps see that when the events to the end will come, they will then move quickly, speedily. It may then be understood that when we shall begin to see these things, they will pass on very quickly. Let us now consider the text from another angle. Things that will shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Things that he signified. The verb used here is semeio, which means signified through signs. He has thus revealed these signs by symbols. But the Greek word semeion can also mean miracles. There is then the notion of signs as well as that of miracle. I will not insist upon this fact, but there are many texts which can tell us similar things. In order to better understand the use of this word, I would like only to read what the Gospel tells us in John chapter 2, verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word used here is semeion. It is a miracle, but it was a sign of Jesus' ministry. I would like to lead you to the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He has thus made known these things by his angel. Now, I would like to review together this transmission chain, because there is indeed a transmission chain. If you look at the first verse, it reads, Revelation of Jesus Christ, but which God gave him. So, the first step, it is God who gave a revelation to Jesus, and Jesus made it known to his servants. But how did he make it known? He signified by his angel, who in turn will transmit it to John. We shall moreover see that, in many instances, in the text, we shall come across these three figures, Jesus, the angel, and John. The latter will be addressed either by Jesus or directly by the angel. It is the angel who is charged to show John these things, and John wrote them, and what he wrote was destined to the reader, who in return will transmit to the listeners. In order that the text might come to us today, there have been copyists, and the text have been considered and reconsidered and written out again until they reached us. Therefore, such a transmission chain may generally cause a number of mistakes in copies. You know the telephone game, which consists of murmuring a sentence to your neighbor's ear, which sentence will transmit to another, and so on, and when the message arrives at the end of the circle, it is no longer the same. It has to be different in this case. There is a transmission chain, but this chain will be a faithful one. The first qualifying name given to Jesus, the first name that he will receive in verse 5, is that of faithful witness. Consequently, there is here this chain, and each element must be faithful in its transmission. It is an indicating sign, because in the very manner someone will testify his faithfulness in transmitting the text, thus he will be asked to pass it on with the same faithfulness. therefore, revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him. God gave it to Jesus, who gave it to the angel, who in return gave it to John. He then transmitted it to the readers, and from listeners to listeners, this message arrives to the last generation. In this respect, I would like to read to you from the end of the book, chapter 22, verse 17, an idea similar to what has been said. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. So, we can understand why these things have to be explained in detail from the very first link of the chain. Now, I would like to come back to verse 2. Let us read it together. John bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. John will testify what he has seen. This will obviously come within the general framework of the testimonies we are about to see in this text. To my knowledge, no biblical text has received that much ascertained authenticity. What we see from John here, we shall find also from the various links, that is, from Jesus, the angel, up to the end of the Revelation text. May I invite you to come back to chapter 22 as we read from verse 6. Then he said to me, These words are faithful and true. It is the angel speaking here. These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants things which must shortly take place. These are the very words, except that here it is the angel who testifies about the truth. John, again, at the end of the passage, will also attest to the truth when he says, in verse 8, Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Jesus himself, on several occasions, will also attest to the truth of these things, and not only the truth of these things, but it is he who hath sent his angel. Look what he says in verse 16. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Even more than a proof, there is a threat. At the very end of the book, verses 18 and 19 of chapter 22, which shows us how God does not mess around with these things. Let us read this together. For I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. There is something here extremely important. God values so much this text. God is keen to accuracy, to every word. And I can tell you from experience that every word is rightly placed. Not only does it have its meaning, but it has its place. They are linked together because it makes sense. This is so obvious that I no longer ask myself the simple question, what does this mean? But what does this have to do being in this place here? And the fact that it is used in that place must make sense. John will attest two things. the Word of God, and the testimony of Jesus. We can understand the Word of God. We can also understand the testimony of Jesus and its several meanings. The first meaning that can be understood is that he only gives evidence of what he has received from the Father. So, we come back to something similar. It is the Word of God, and it is the testimony of Jesus who has received the Word of God. But the book of Revelation will still give another meaning to it. And I invite you to look at chapter 19, verse 10. We are told the following. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And here we are given a definition of the testimony of Jesus. It is the spirit of prophecy. John will make the same mistake twice. He will kneel down a second time before the angel, and the angel will tell him, "No, do not kneel before me. Worship God alone." And he will say that always with gentleness, while giving him more precision in Revelation chapter 22. I invite you to read this in Revelation chapter 22. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. I am your fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets." While the first time he said, "I am your fellow servant, and of those who have the testimony of Jesus." Therefore, having the testimony of Jesus is equivalent to being prophet. We then understand that he could say the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And there emerges another meaning to the testimony of Jesus. It is not just the evidence that we can make of Jesus. We already understand that this is a testimony that Jesus gives. Testimony unto the word he received from the Father, of course. But in Paul's epistle, the first to the Corinthians, we have a new insight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5-9. "That you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So, this text says that the testimony was strongly confirmed in you so that you do not lack any spiritual gift. Well, the gifts that Jesus gives to his people is his testimony. It thus reflects his church. We still have to study this text. "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it." I want to say with a deep conviction that this text has proved true to me. It brought me happiness. This text has upheld me in the most difficult moments of my life, and I can tell you that this text continues to be for me a source of happiness, a source of discovery. I wish it were the same for you. The same bliss is repeated at the end of Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. But I would like to point out something else. It is about those who keep, not just read. those who listen, those who keep the things that are written. Ah, let me tell you what happened to Mary. We are going to read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Maybe we can read a little before. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary will receive special information at the birth of Jesus. She will receive information from the shepherds. She will receive amazing words from the prophet Simeon and Anna the prophetess. And of course, she had but one baby. Oh, she knew full well that this baby was given her in an extraordinary way. But hearing those wonderful things, did she understand them all? Certainly not. But she kept them in her heart. And at the appointed time, when these things did happen, then she understood what they meant. Well, in the same way, the text invites us to keep these things in our heart, and it is likely that we shall not understand everything. And I myself do not understand everything yet. But what I can say is that I keep these things in my heart. Just recently, important events occurred that found their place in the prophecy, which place they had not found before. Keeping these things in her heart is to keep things which are written therein, for the time is near. So, allow me to tell you, there is not only happiness in studying the text, but you will not be disappointed in keeping these things in your heart. For now, events are moving fast. Everyone feels it. And you realize that those things which were spoken a long time ago are being fulfilled before our eyes. God, through this book, wants to open our eyes. He wants to open our heart and wants to give us happiness.